Amen. Please remain standing and turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Hear the word of the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourselves and for yourself and write on it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them one to another for yourself into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribe of Israel, his companions, and will join them with it and with the stick of Judah and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountain of Israel. And one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. And they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be a lasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word, for the fact that you have given it to us and you have spoken it to us. I thank you for your Son, through which you have given to us life. And I thank you for your Spirit, who you give to us that we might hear, that we might know. Lord, as we come before you tonight, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we might know you as we look at your word tonight. And Lord, that we would be transformed by that knowledge. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts this evening be true to your word and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight I wanted us to look at here in Ezekiel chapter 37, primarily just looking at verses 1 through 14. And we see here something that might be familiar, that we might have seen before, as God is talking to Ezekiel and takes him into the valley. And in this valley there is there's nothing but dried bones. And we see here it's not just a group of people that he's come upon that have just recently died, but here we have bones of people that have been long since dead. And he says specifically that they were very dry. He highlights that. There's no life that is in them at all. There is nothing in them that says that there's even hope for life to come to them. And then we see that God asks Ezekiel to preach to dry bones. God asks him to speak his words to these bones, and that God is going to do something. But before he asks him to preach to those bones, and before he asks them to begin to speak his words to them, he asks them the question, can these bones live? And here Ezekiel has to answer God. It's not a question of, as Ezekiel looks at those things, there's no life in those bones that he sees before him. It's not a question of, are they alive? It's also not a question of is God capable or is he not? He is God. But it is a question of, is God willing at this moment? What is God going to do? And Ezekiel answers him, you alone know, God. It is your will, in essence. And so God tells him to prophesy to these bones, to these dry bones. And that God himself is going to cause those bones to come together And on those bones, he is going to put sinew and flesh. He is going to build them again into actual bodies. And then he is going to breathe life into them. And Ezekiel very faithfully preaches the word of God to these bones. Has to be an awkward time as he stands there just preaching to this open field. And yet as he begins to preach, he hears and then he begins to see the word of God have its effect on his audience, on these dry bones that are there. And as God said, those bones come together and he puts flesh upon them. And they become bodies again. And then God has him speak to the wind, speak to the breath that would come and blow into them and breathe into them life. And so Ezekiel does. He is faithful to preach the word of God. And the breath comes into them. And then before him, instead of a dry valley filled with lifeless bones, there is a great army that stands before him. And God tells him that this is a picture of his people Israel. That where they're at this time, they are looking upon their lives and they are thinking to themselves that they are without hope, that they're cut off, that they feel like their bones, their very bones are dry and lifeless. And God says, this is a picture of my people Israel. And that he is going to be the one that is going to breathe into them life. That even though in and of themselves there is no hope for them to return, that there is no hope for them to see God's glory, God is going to do something for them. And he is going to be the one because it is his desire and his will to bring them back together. He literally says he's going to open up their graves. They're dead where they are at. And he's going to open them up and bring them back together to be his people. And several times throughout this passage, we see that God declares that he is going to do this. And that what his people are going to see and what the world is going to see is that God is God. And he is able. And more than that, that he is more than just God. He is our God. He is their God. And he is able. And he is willing. This is what he wills to have happen. And as I read this passage this morning, it really struck me. This is a picture. This is a picture of us. And we are completely incapable of doing that which we should. And what we have to bring is what these bones had to bring, which was nothing. It was lifeless. It was so far beyond. It was dry. They could have been twigs or they could have been rocks for all that mattered. And that is what we bring. And God in his power, God in his mercy, God in his grace, breathes and brings to us life. And he does it. He does it through his word. As we hear his word being taught us, as his word comes to us, it is his word that is active. And it is Jesus who we see in the New Testament that is, as he is called the word of God, that brings to us that life. That our dried bones are given flesh. And he breathes into us life through his spirit. What a picture this is of our inability and yet of God's great glory that he can raise up for himself like he did in this picture. These dried bones, a great army, God raises up for himself, his people. He raises us up that we might be his people. That the world might know that he is God. The world seeing nothing but dried bones and nothing but people who are unable and people who are fallen and failing that are brought together to bring him glory as he transforms us into something that we are not and cannot be apart from him. In the second part there, he talks about uniting the house of Israel under one king. And he refers to him here as David. And here is the time that's past David when he was the king over the house of Israel. So he's referring literally to the fact that Jesus would come and unite his kingdom. Just like Jesus has come to us to breathe into us life. Life that we would not have had otherwise. And yet he came and he died for our dusty bones, our dusty sins, and then how we had thrown off God and were dead in our transgressions and sin, and yet he sent Jesus here to save us and to bring to us life. And I feel like this is such a great picture for us to continually be bringing to mind, because I don't know how many times in a given day, if you're like me, I sit there and I think, wow, man, maybe that wasn't so bad after all. Maybe I did okay in this particular area, or wow, that was such a good job. And yet the picture here is that what it's worth, what I'm able to bring in my day-to-day life and in my failings and the things in which I fail God over and over again each day is what these dry bones brought to the table, which was simply vessels that God does his mighty work on. And I think we need that as we go through, because sometimes we have a tendency to see ourselves in pride in what we think we are capable of doing. And there's other times where we see our sinfulness and how wretched we are and think it's so hopeless about what we are able to do or unable to do. And yet our hope is not in our bones in what we bring. Our hope is in God and his strength that he brings and his power that he brings. And our hope is in the fact that he is willing. He calls us his people and he brings us forth through Jesus, his son. And what a blessing that is for us to look at the blessing that God brings to a people that don't deserve it. And yet he then uses us. And when we see those things that maybe we do, and when we are able to see some way in which we've changed and we're different, we can say, wow, what a great God. Because he was able to take me, a pile of dried bones, and change me in a way that I couldn't change myself. And when we see our failings and what we don't do, we know that God is able to transform even those, even our failings, and make something great of those. May he bring this to mind to us, that we might go to him, knowing that he is God, knowing that he is our God and we are his people, and thank him for the work that he does in us through his son Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, indeed you do things that I don't understand. You come to a people who obviously don't deserve you, and yet you give to them life and breath. And you transform them into something that they could not be apart from your work. Lord, may you cause these things to sink into our minds and to sink into our hearts. Cause us to not look at ourselves and the mess that we are, and instead to look to you and the work that you did through Jesus Christ in bringing to us life. And Lord, may we then be transformed, and out of gratitude may we seek to serve you as you make us able. In Jesus' name, amen.